All right. If anyone here or listening on Pal Talk or Skype has a question or a comment you'd like to make, you're welcome. At this time, just raise your hand, and if you're here, feel free to come up to the mic. Or on Pal Talk, you can enter your question into the text, and Bob can relay it to us. Does anyone have anything? Who?
Peter.
Please enter your question into the text.
On January 1st, early question and answer, you asserted that people who stayed in the churches through May 21st are not part of the Bride of Christ. In the evening Q&A, you said we're not to judge about whether people are saved, yet it seems like we are judging based on our understanding of May 21st. What are your thoughts on this, or was staying in the church is unforgivable?
Well, all we can say is that God brought judgment on the churches. Judgment began at the house of God. And he warned repeatedly. He warned people, get out of the church. Get out while you can. And then what happened on May 21 was he closed the door of salvation on the world. And so now the great and unrepairable thing is that someone who was in the church was in a spiritual condition where they could not be saved while they were in that church. And that's just the fact of the judgment that was on the congregations. The Holy Spirit had left. And no one could become saved who is under the hearing of the gospel within the churches, any church in the world. And that's why they were encouraged to leave. But if they stayed, then when judgment came on the world, and now that judgment that was on the churches was expanded to all the world, and the door shut to heaven, to all the world at that point, well, it's not me or the believer who's making the judgment. It's God. He's the one who brought the judgment on the church, and he's the one who brought judgment on the world on May 21. And all we can do is say, I'm sorry, but you were in a situation where there was no salvation, and now there is no salvation in the world. So that's not judging any individual. That's not pointing our finger at someone, as we're not to do. We're not to judge any man. It's just saying what the Bible teaches. But thank you for that question. And let's go to Lester. Lester, please, go ahead.
When we was reading the book of Esther, you were talking about the Haman and his 10 sons. Now you said Haman's the type of Satan, right?
Right.
Would you say his 10 sons are like the fallen angels that fell down with him, or picture up that? You know?
No. The 10 sons actually. we have. They're a figure of what we read in Revelation 13 and also in Daniel 7, where it says in verse 1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." That's Satan at the beginning of the Great Tribulation. He's the beast. And the beast has 10 horns. So in the book of Esther, Haman, who is Satan, has 10 sons. And that's the interesting thing is Haman's killed on the 17th day of the second month. But the book of Esther doesn't end there. It goes all the way till Purim, which was in the 12th month, almost 10 months later. And that helps us to understand what Daniel 7 is saying. And it's in Daniel 7. We also read about 10 horns. When the Ancient of Days is sitting in judgment, and it says in verse 10, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. Judgment Day, which was May 21. Now let's see what happened in verse 11. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain. The beast that came out of the sea, Satan, was slain on Judgment Day, May 21. Just like Haman was killed on the 17th day of the second month.
Yeah.
So that should be the end of the world, right?
Right.
It's Judgment Day. The beast is slain. That should be it. According to what people have traditionally thought and what some are going back to, they say, well, on the very last day is when Satan's destroyed.
Well, you see, I was very, very
curious. Well, not done yet. This will explain a little bit more. And it says, till the beast was slain and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. How does that make sense? It's Judgment Day. The Ancient of Days is sitting on the throne. The beast is destroyed. And yet, it says the rest of the beast, their lives are prolonged for a season and a time. We would have no way of understanding it. But what we have in Esther is actually a historical illustration of it. Haman, Satan, is killed on the 17th day, but his 10 sons are not killed until Adar 13, and then killed a second time by hanging on Adar 14. So we have the beast slain, but the rest of the beast, their lives are prolonged for a time and a season. And to take that blueprint and lay it over what happened, we have May 21, Judgment Day, when Satan is put down from ruling in the churches. And then we have another date. We have March 2012, when the Feast of Purim comes, when the 10 sons or horns of Satan, that is, Satan is the beast and Satan is the horns. It's just language all referring to him, but referring to different aspects of him. And he lost authority on May 21, but he will cease to exist at the end of the days.
Yes, why don't you turn to Psalm 37. Verses 1 to 9.
That's a little much. We don't have too much time. What?
Okay, read them from 1 to 7.
Do you have a question?
I have a question about something to do with the evil doers, the grands, the workers of iniquity. They shall soon be down like the grass. I was wondering if this has something to do with the judgment to come, and if God's punishing the wicked,
Here God is indicating verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon Jehovah, they shall inherit the earth. And that's the promise God has given to his people, that wait upon him, and the earth in view is the new earth, and that will be eternity. But evildoers would be all the unsaved people. But finally comes the point when they're cut off and they cease to live. But God's people live forever.
Okay,
thank you, Lester. Okay, any other questions?
The question is Galatians 4:10. If you could read that. And the question is this in any way disproving calendar watching?
No. You observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I bestow upon you labor in vain. This is referring to those that would go to the feast days, or perhaps the seventh day Sabbath, and all these fell on particular days and months and years, and yet their observance is that they want to continue to keep them as they have been laid out, say, in the law of Moses. And there's no, of course, Christ fulfilled them, and so there's no obligation, and actually God's people should not keep, for instance, Purim. We shouldn't keep Purim in the sense the Jews keep Purim. We shouldn't keep the Passover in the sense the Jews observe the Passover. You know, we can look at those dates and we can learn from them and we can see that God spiritually perhaps fulfilled them. And as we were looking at the Feast of Tabernacles, but we don't observe the Feast of Tabernacles. We didn't literally go live in booths at all. So it has nothing to do with learning from the Bible about a particular day of the coming of Christ. Some people are just trying to find something, anything, because they don't want to hear about this anymore. And that's an individual's privilege. No one has to listen to this anymore. But I think before they go away, they want some justification for leaving these kinds of ideas. They, in their own mind, well, you're not going to find that from the Bible. You can say that I don't want anything to do with it, but you can't say that God does not allow His people to search for His coming.
Mm-hmm. There seems to be a contradiction between 2 Peter and Galatians 4. The word elements seem to mean something not relating to another. Is there, if there is not a contradiction, please explain.
Where it said in Galatians 4:9, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements. Well, I wouldn't want to comment on this without looking at the Greek words, because I sort of remember looking up the word element and seeing it could be different Greek words. So I would not want to try and compare them. But thank you for that question. Anyone else? Does anyone else have a question or a comment that you'd like to make? Emmanuel.
Remember the passage where Christ tells his disciples that the blind, the man that was born blind, it mm-hmm. was for the glory of God. And now that we understand that God set up the entire creation for his own purpose, is it okay if we look at Satan as, I guess, as being used for the glory of God, his creation, the fact that because of his actions and even the fact that he was created, it was all to show the glory of God in the end? So can he be yes. looked at, just like us, as an item for the glory of God?
Well, yeah, God actually says that in Romans, where he's referring to Pharaoh, who is the picture of Satan, and he says of Pharaoh in where is that? Romans 9. For the scripture in verse 17, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. So he raised up Pharaoh in order to finally defeat him and destroy him in the Red Sea, and that did bring glory to God.
Thank you.
Actually, I remembered a question someone had on Facebook in the E-Bible Fellowship group that I just wanted to comment on. The person wrote about Adar 3. The temple was completed in Adar 3, which is 10 days away from Adar 13. And the question was, will God take his people out earlier than the 13th or the 14th or the 15th when the Feast of the Purim comes? And I don't think so. Like we were saying before, it's kind of a cliche, but it's true. Close, it only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. It does not count when studying the Bible. We have to be exact. Now, it's very interesting that it is only 10 days away, but we would have to find some link, some connection, maybe some 10-day reference in relationship to the completion of the temple that could tie it in to the 13th day. So it's not, until we do, then there is no connection. Okay, someone else on Pal Talk?
Give it a try. If the doorkeepers are at the door, which is Christ, when, at what meaning? What at what time do they enter through the door? To doorkeep. I'm sorry. You're going to have to rephrase your question, Dan. I can't understand it.
Well, maybe he's saying, at what point does everyone enter into? To the door, since we're all here and we haven't gone into heaven.
Finally, the question is, when does the spiritual become literal rapture?
Yeah, that's basically what he's saying. Well, that's a different aspect of things. You know, when God speaks of the door to heaven and Christ is the door, he has the idea of salvation. Then we enter in, and we're already in. Where are we if we're a child of God? We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's in the kingdom. That's how God is viewing us. We don't have to make our initial appearance at the rapture in a major way. God is viewing us as being in Christ, who is in the kingdom. And so when the last day comes, we just go in. And it's all as a result that God brought us in already. And now it's just simply the completion of his salvation. Okay, why don't we stop here, and we'll close with a word of prayer. And again, if anyone has another question or comment, please join us tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word, and Father, we thank you for your grace and for your help. We thank you. You are a very present help in time of trouble, and that we look to you for our comfort and for our help, so we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. What shall I fear? What man shall do unto me?" And Father, we pray that we would cast all of our cares on you, and we pray that you would lead us step by step and give us more wisdom. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.